Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello geeks, welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you today by Social Joey and Intrepid Direct Insurance. Jack Munson here, your host and social media consigliere, with another edition of the Franchise Spotlight. Today featuring Bill DePaola, Chief Operating Officer of Ballard Brands. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We look forward to learning a little bit about Ballard Brands and some things happening in the restaurant space right now. But first, give us some of your background. What's your story?
So I am a son of immigrants. My mother's born and raised in Guatemala City, and my father born and raised in Sicily. You know, Sicilian and Guatemalan, we had a very peaceful household. No fighting whatsoever.
I'm sure it was nice and quiet all the time, right?
Yes, yes. And amazingly, no one ever spoke with their hands. Never happened. You know, I came from a home of two parents that knew what it meant to put their nose to the grindstone and work very, very hard. And they did. They did that in spades. And I was very, I am very fortunate to have grown up with the parents I grew up with. And I joke about this because, and I'm never certain. Because I never really asked my mother whether or not she likes that I say this, but the last people that were the right people to like complain to about how tough something was were my mother and father. Like that was the last place to go because there was no quarter, like no, none given at all. You know, my mother, her father, my grandfather, he was Undersecretary General to the United Nations. You know, he led a fighting force to liberate New Guinea. He brokered a peace deal between Greece and Turkey. He overthrew the government in Guatemala that was repressive. And I mean, my grandmother was their courier. Many dramatic, like, hey, the army is coming and looking for your dad on Christmas Day at 5 years old in your house.
Wow.
And so the last person that I could complain to about, you know, how hard my math homework was,
right,
was my mother, because she's like, you know what? None of my stories are going to end up with anybody being taken or shot. So right.
We don't have enough cable channels.
I can't compare with that. So that's the house I grew up in, and I think in many ways, through a lot of the things that I've had to go through in life, it was formative in a few things. You know, my mother being Guatemalan and my family being Guatemalan, so my mother being born and raised in Guatemala City. You know, the natural predilection was for her to go right into jewelry in Manhattan.
Sure.
Because, I mean, essentially, that business is handled by, you have people who are of Jewish descent and people who are of Middle Eastern Arabic descent, and almost all of them are men. And so for a Latina woman who still had her green card until my grandmother passed, to say, hey, I'm going into the Diamond District and I'm going to, I'm going to crush this, was not exactly on their radar.
Yeah.
But that is like quintessential my mother. Like, no way, no how, nobody is going to tell her that she can't. And some of that really informed a lot of how I manage today, how I view things today. Her strength, her understanding of, what is capable, what is possible. I always wanted to be my dad, and I was raised by my mom. She was the gold standard for hard work.
Wow, I love that story. And I'm guessing, and we'll get to the restaurant side of your world in just a moment, but I'm guessing a family of Guatemalan and Sicilian descent, I'm sure there was no good food in the house ever.
No, sucks. Terrible. Absolutely awful. I may pass, a few years earlier than intended because of how I ate, but I ate well. And those are back end years.
They're going to be good years, though. That. So
yeah, you know, exactly. The years are good now. Those are back end years. Nobody's going to watch those. You know, you wear diapers at that point. Come on.
Yeah, you're going to live 7 years shorter, but it's not the good 7 years. So I'm glad you ate what you ate.
Exactly. Yep, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my home life. The rest of my life entirely different. I work for a lot of really great companies. Very blessed for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Worked for them for a little over 5.5, close to 6 years. Worked for Applebee's. Worked for Dickie Brennan and Company. The Brennans are a famous family down here in New Orleans, Louisiana. So had the opportunity to work with some really, really large companies and heavy, high, fine dining and, very small companies and in QSR and fast casual. I think I pretty much run the gamut of everything you can run.
Yeah, I think so. And before you got into restaurants, you were studying theater. Is that right?
I was. I have a, master's in acting and directing. And in fact, I was a director. A little known fact. So there was an off-Broadway production of a show called Matt and Ben, which was about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and their version of discovering the script of Good Will Hunting. One of the two actors that I directed in there and did the fight choreography for was Mindy Kaling of the Mindy Project.
Wow! Very cool.
I have enjoyed directing. I have enjoyed the setting of the scene and the setting of conditions for people to be successful for a lot of years in my life. Directing is a lot of fun, and is it helpful now? It's really helpful.
Exactly. I always think that people think of restaurants as a great place to work while you're trying to make it as an actor. But I think the reality is training as an actor and doing some acting and directing too really trains you to be a great host and a great restaurateur.
Oh, the critical thinking that you have to plan for someone's success that you learn in environments where you're working with personalities that can be extreme. The similarities between being in a production in theater and being in a production in a restaurant or being in the production of a business are unbelievable. You work with the same outlandish personalities and then the same people who like to put their nose to the grindstone and work, and they look at the divas and they're like, are you kidding me with this? And I mean, it's the same. Yeah. It is amazing. And setting the conditions for someone to be successful is, it is why I love doing this job now. That's the privilege that I have getting to do this job. I don't do anybody's work for them, but I create the conditions within which people will be able to be successful under a system that I guide. That's my favorite thing to do.
Well said. I love that. So tell us about Ballard Brands. How many brands do you guys currently operate?
Oh, God. There's a whole lot.
And it feels like that may change before the end of this show. We could be adding one or two more by the end of the
day. It's really a possibility around here. We're very fortunate in that we have three brothers, Paul, Stephen, and Scott, who are not only, I mean, the nice part about being around them is that they've done it themselves. It's not like they have had to have theories on how they might have gotten to where they are. They did it. And they have been very entrepreneurial, very aggressive, and they know what they're talking about. And so to have three brothers to work with that are still involved, although they allow their executive team to lead, it's a lot of fun. They know what they want. They know how to get it. And they generally put the right people around them in order to be able to go get what they're looking for.
It sounds like a good fit with you, who's sort of setting the place up to be successful.
It's all about systems and allowing those. In fact, there have been people here who've been here for a long time, got 12, 13, 15, and 25-year employees. And much of what we're doing now is we're seeing results because of the formalization of systems that allow somebody to understand, where do they stand today? what do I do today? What is the most important and effective use of my time today? Where am I going to be the best benefit to those that are counting on me today? That wasn't as clear as it is now with the team and the leadership that we're putting in place. And I'm pretty happy to be a part of that. We're on a real strong upswing right now. And a lot of that has to do with our teamwork.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. How do you develop that team, and where are you finding great people? That seems to be the biggest challenge that I hear in the restaurant industry right now, is just finding good, talented people.
So I have a few thoughts on this subject. They're not the easiest of thoughts, but I do have them. I think that in large part, in a lot of ways, we look to others that may look a whole lot like us to emulate the success that we were able to achieve. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, that guy right there is chip off the old block, and man, he's got that same, you know, nose to the grindstone work ethic. But you know, what I've tended to find is that a lot of our employee base becomes disenfranchised when we don't have a wider view of what success is and how success is able to be achieved and who might be able to get that success. You know, the difference in backgrounds and seeing where some people have come from and leveraging their backgrounds and their understandings in ways that highlight the skills that they have, those are the things that are valuable for me in finding people that are going to deliver success. I was, you know, very fortunate to be in positions where I've come into places where the standard, you know, the status quo was, you know, a bunch of old, you know, just say it like it is, a bunch of old white guys that are in positions of power and authority.
Yeah.
And to be able to be a part of that change, to see people finding success levels that they just simply needed to be invested in, and to see what is created when that base is diversified, has allowed the businesses that I'm fortunate enough to have been a part of to lower turnover ratio, increase productivity, increase sales, and you know, overall affect the bottom line. I just think that people in this time need to see with a wider scope. Because someone that may not look like you, may not speak like you, may not think like you, may be exactly what you need. I can tell you for certain that I have benefited off of that viewpoint from working with wonderful people who have helped lift departments that I've been responsible for. And without them, frankly, I wouldn't be what I am.
And I think we're seeing that in franchising now more than ever. You know, when I got into the industry 12 years ago, 13 years ago, it felt a lot like what you just described. You know, my joke was, you know, I think we need another middle-aged dude from Texas or Georgia, you know, to join this association. There just aren't enough. You know, there's just not enough people who are rooting for the same football team, right? Yeah. We need some more Cowboys fans.
Yep.
You know, nobody needs that, right? So,
right.
I think it feels like if you look at the, you know, not just the next generation, not just looking at Generation Z coming up, but even the other people who've been in other careers and other industries suddenly are showing up in franchising. It's really been amazing. I think over, especially the past 5 years or so, I've seen a huge change.
I think that's the beauty of franchising. I think it's why I'm so passionate about the industry that I've thrown myself so wholeheartedly into. I think it's a uniquely American institution.
Yeah, yeah.
The opportunity that is created is so unique. You know, people like Aziz Hashim from NRD Capital, the perfect example of what is possible through franchising, came here to be an engineer, went to college for it, spent a whole bunch of family money for it, and went into franchising, and is essentially on a Mount Rushmore at this point. These opportunities that are created for women like Shelley Sun and Catherine Munson You know, people like, again, like Aziz, you see so many instances in franchising specifically where you take an opportunity given and turn it into something that I frankly don't believe is possible to come walking in as the quote unquote busboy or porter level in, you know, other industries and rise to the top in the same way. I just don't see it. Franchising gives a unique opportunity, a unique roadmap for success for people who want to build business, build wealth, build opportunity for themselves. You're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. What a great way to get to your dream.
Yeah. And when we talk in those terms, everybody gets it, right? And I would also say too, Bill, that, you know, you're one of those guys who came into franchising. You kind of came in like a tornado a few years ago.
Yes,
you know, you came in with an emerging brand and now you're operating this big multi-brand group. Give me some advice that you would give to someone who's just starting to franchise, or maybe they're thinking about franchising their brand, or they're just looking for a way to grow their business. What would you tell that person who maybe was in your shoes 8 years ago, something like that?
I would tell them, beyond the shadow of a doubt, do not compromise your ideals. I can say safely that I think it is a wise choice to change your ideas. Your ideas on the way in which you may do something, you may be wrong. Take in information from others, learn from others, go to IFA events, go to other franchise events, speak with other operators, learn from people. Your ideas for doing something you may be wrong on, but your ideals, the things that are the founding principles of why you choose to do something, can never be moved. And in franchising, the money is always there to compromise your ideals. And once you let that go, you don't have a brand that's going to grow any further. You just don't. You can take it to a certain point. It will not make it to the end zone, to where you really want to be. Your ideals at this point, I think those are the real separators that are going to allow somebody to feel, I should patronize that business. I should be a part of that. There's too many options. There's no, we're the only ones that do home healthcare anymore, or we're the only ones that do fast casual tacos anymore. There's like 20 to 30 choices. We're the only ones that do, paint parties with booze anymore. Like that just, I mean, you would think to get down like to that granular level, there's got to be only one of those. No, you know what?
Oh no, there's 12. There's 12 easy. Yeah. But I love that idea of that your ideals should not change, but your ideas are going to change, because let's face it, whether it's paint and sip or casual tacos or fancy tacos or whatever, those ideas are going to change, right? They're just trends, and it's all going to be different 4 years from now.
Right. The ideas upon which you base how I am going to deliver that taco into somebody's hands can change. It can change from, hey, we used to take an order at a table, to, hey, now you come up to the register and we bring it to you, to, hey, now you put your hands on the self-order kiosk and it'll show up magically, to, hey, you can order it through your phone and it's going to be in this cubby hole that you just touch, it opens and you grab it, to whatever it is. All those ideas about how you deliver the vehicle to the guest or things like that can change. Among many other different ideas about how you do things to positively affect your guest's experience can change. But the ideals to why you do those things cannot change. It is what people identify your brand with. And when you allow the easy money to come in and alter your ideals, that is when you lose your brand. That is when you give away your brand. If you are going to grow as an entrepreneur, you cannot allow the money to do that. Stick true to it. It's always the thing that you'll hear plenty of franchisors talk about. Oh, you know, it's hard to say no to a franchisee that's got a bunch of money, that's five states away from you. Well, guess what? That's where your ideals need to hold true. Concentric circle growth for certain brands, it just simply works and it's time tested. But it's not always the same way, but I guarantee you the way to losing your business is to follow money. When you chase money, you lose your business. When you chase your ideals, you will grow something that people can't get away from.
Oh, that's very well said, my friend. We're going to actually leave it right there and let some people reach out to you if they have additional questions. And we're going to be right back with some contact info. But first, this episode of Social Geek is brought to you by Intrepid Direct Insurance, comprehensive business insurance designed specifically for franchises. Intrepid Direct is able to bundle all required coverages, including property, liability, hired and non-owned auto, owned auto, work comp, umbrella, EPL, into one monthly payment. Intrepid is a direct provider with A-plus rated coverage no agent or broker can access. Intrepid's licensed franchise experts will review your quote and provide excellent customer service. You'll save 20% by cutting out the middleman's commission. See why thousands of franchise locations have switched to Intrepid Direct. Get a fast quote now at intrepiddirect.com/socialgeek. Bill, thanks so much for joining today. In the couple of minutes we have left, if some of our listeners want to reach out to you and they've got some questions about some of the advice you've given today, and maybe they're looking to grow their business and they want to learn a little bit more from you, where's the best place that they can reach out and contact you?
So I am that dinosaur that has absolutely no other social media other than LinkedIn. So
all you need, brother. We can spend 100% of our time on LinkedIn. I think we'll all be in good shape these days.
Absolutely. So you can reach me there at my LinkedIn profile. And, I highly suggest if you are looking to find that way in which you would grow your personal brand, your personal business, and have something that you can create your own wealth on, I highly suggest coming and seeing Ballard Brands. Between our PJ's Coffee, Wow World of Wings, and other opportunities that we have, there's a lot of ways to make yourself self-sufficient.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining Social Geek today, Bill, and we will see you at a franchise event in the very near future.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Always good seeing you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.